Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 19th, 2012, episode 513. And today's episode is brought to you kindly by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse people. About 15 years ago when birthdays stopped being awesome. So,
I kept putting that together and I kept going, I need one. I need to make this just go on forever.
I think my favorite was the dogs barking happy birthday. That was definitely my favorite. And,
boomer.
It wouldn't quit. That was enough.
So, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. It's going to be a fun day. I just got back in town from hanging out with the husband. He decided that I needed to go somewhere, and I wanted to go to Tombstone, Arizona, home of the gunfight at the OK Corral, Wyatt Earp, Doc Holliday, very historical kind of Wild West kind of town. And so we went out there and spent Wednesday night, because apparently this weekend is one of their biggest weekends ever, and we couldn't get a hotel room. So we went Wednesday night and spent Wednesday to Thursday. So we got back yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. And what a cool little town. It's tiny. I don't think anybody needs to plan a whole week vacation there. It's just more like in and out one day kind of thing. And pretty much if you like the Wild West, during the day is good. Everything shuts down at 5 o'clock, and the only thing that stays open are the bars. So if you like to bar hop in an old Western town, this is your place. And my husband couldn't have been happier. He's like, this is awesome. We just walked back to the hotel room from all these bars.
Is it like the old West where the brothel girls are upstairs in the rooms and the bars down below with the piano player and all that and the poker?
They called those ladies the soiled doves. Did you know that? Soiled
no, I didn't.
Doves. And they were the soiled doves. They did not have any soiled doves, but I will tell you that in every single restaurant and every single bar, because there's so many like kind of famous places. The Oriental is now called something else. We went in there, and then the place that the Birdcage is still there. So there's all these historical places that are still there. And in every single one of them, they had flat screen TVs playing the movie Tombstone.
Every single one.
Oh, I walked into one. I'm like, we've seen this movie. We sat through about six times at this point. And I looked up and I'm like, hey, man, have you seen this movie before? To the bartender. He's like, Nope. Brand new. Never seen it. I mean, how exhausting is that? To see the there's a billion movies about Tombstone, and they pick Tombstone and watch it over and over and over. And every single person that works and lives in Tombstone has to dress up like an 1800s cowboy. So that was kind of cool.
I saw the picture, you guys, in your cowboy hat. You were looking all cowgirl. Looked good.
Well, yeah. I figured, you know, where else can I dress up like a cowgirl and get away with it? Obviously, in Tombstone. So we got dressed up. We put our hats on. We were walking around. It was great. All I needed was some jingly spurs.
Well, you know, there's nothing more fun for some reason. Jennifer and I absolutely love, and we've done this with groups of people, too, when we went to Nashville. We love going cowboy hat shopping. You can kill 2 hours cowboy hat shopping for a whole bunch of people. So did you go cowboy hat shopping?
I didn't mean to, because I actually had my good guy hat. I have a white cowboy hat, one of those kind of firm white ones that sit up there, you know, and it's kind
of
big. And
yeah,
I really like, it's kind of like that one, yours, it's on your profile picture or whatever. And so I have that one, but then we went into you obviously have to cowboy hat shop at the OK Corral, duh. So we go in there to the OK Corral, and believe it or not, every little tiny place has its very own gift shop. I know you're shocked. I know that they sell gifts at each one of these tiny little touristy places, but they had the cutest hat, the little brown one that I posted on my Facebook page. So just so you know, they did have cowboy hats, and we did shop, and I did buy one there. And I probably paid about 10 times too much, but it was so cute. And it's my birthday, so buy it.
Yeah, what the heck. Now, did you do the birthday week? Are you at the point where you're doing a birthday week or a birthday month, or are you still a day?
I would prefer just a day. My husband seems to, just take last night. You know, we're sitting there watching TV. He's like, what do you want to watch? I'm like, well, I haven't watched The Voice for Monday or Tuesday. Mind you, his baseball game, the Giants playoffs, and his football game, the San Francisco 49ers, are both on at the same time. And he's like, it's your birthday. Go ahead. I'm like, no, I am not stealing your man card this early in our marriage.
The playoffs?
Yeah. I'm like, you're out of your mind. I'm like, man up.
What a good husband.
I know, he's the best. So I actually sat in the other room and ate ice cream and watched The Voice. So it was a good night.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Hang on a second. I'm still laughing about Jamie watching The Voice.
Why is that
funny? On top of that ice cream?
It's awesome. The Voice is like the greatest reality show ever. Carry on.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, it's a surprise, amaze, and congratulate day. So we'll start out with a few surprising headlines, Old Westers, and Natal Day shoutouts. Next up, amazing photographer Monica Stevenson with a behind-the-scenes look at the life of a photographer, and she is pretty amazing. And to conclude our week-long journey through equestrianism, we will congratulate the winner of Really Bad Ads. And appropriately enough, today is National Evaluate Your Life Day. It's a good time to ask yourself some important questions. Do you have enough saddle pads? Could a new 3-horse slant load trailer be just what you need for your horse to arrive at the show more relaxed? And would attending the World Equestrian Games in Normandy, France be a good educational investment? Answer those.
Thank you, Jennifer. My daily Winnie goes out to eventer Karen O'Connor. If you remember right, on Wednesday we said that she had had a fall and had hurt her back. They actually did send her home, and she went back for a checkup, I guess, the next day from the hospital, and the doctor said, ooh, we got problems in here. Apparently one of the vertebrae was pressing on her spinal cord. So they did an operation yesterday, and it's reported by Brian O'Connor, her brother-in-law, that after a long 5-plus hours of surgery, Karen has pulled through in fine fashion. Max, her groom, told her when she went down the hall to the operating theater, good luck, and I will see you at the finish line. Only Max, isn't that cute? Max is good that way. Anyway, just heard from the hospital, John Hopkins in Baltimore, that she is in the ICU recovering well. She's in good spirits. They hope to have her up later this weekend, moving about. She's going to be out for quite a while, though. They said that they put a rod in her back from a vertebrae T1 through T10. That's like a long rod in your back. They said it was a bit longer than originally planned, but safer and stronger. So she's expected to do well, and there's no word on when she'll be getting out of the hospital at this point. So
when you put a giant rod in your back, can you say, like, bend over and pick something up or arch your back, or, you know, you're sitting at the computer and you want to stretch, you lean backwards? I actually thought the same thing.
I thought, is this a flexible rod or is it like a straight rod?
I don't know. That sounds
really
gross.
It would solve your posture problems. You wouldn't have posture problems anymore.
I know.
But apparently it was going to be bad news. It's good they caught it because, you know, the vertebrae on the spinal cord is not a good thing. So it's good they caught that. Your turn.
Well, go ahead and play the birthday song because it is not just my birthday.
Oh, you want the short version or the long one?
The short. All right, so we've talked a lot about, you know, Aubrey Miller is kind of the East Coast to me, and every time I post something or talk about something, she kind of goes through it. Well, I call her my sister from another mother, because it's just bizarre kind of how things between her and I are so similar, kind of at the same time. Now, what I'd like to point out is that it is Aubrey's birthday. And I don't remember last year this time it being Aubrey's birthday. And I'm wondering, is there some sort of, like, fatal attraction thing happening here, Glenn?
I don't remember that either. I thought the same thing when I saw it was her birthday today. I was like, wow, you two really are like twins.
I'm a little worried about it, really. But anyway, just kidding, Aubrey. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Great day. It's a great day to be born. All right, I've got another one. And this one is for you, Glenn. I don't know why I like doing this for you.
No,
you'll like it. Go to our Facebook page. And click on the Horse Nation link. It is 7 sexy horse-themed costumes. And this is by horsenation.com. And they are scantily clad, inappropriately dressed for any sort of equestrian sport. This is what you guys want to see when you go to horse shows. What you actually do see is totally opposite of this.
Yes. Yes, and I'll tell you, I did see this yesterday, and I was not going to bring it up because I didn't want you getting all, you know, girl feminist on me, so I didn't bring it up today. But now that you did, which one of these do you think was my favorite? Now, let me just give the listeners an idea. We have the sexy jockey, who's looking pretty good. We have the sexy horse show girl, which, by the way, I've never seen one like that. We have the sexy wild pony, which is just kind of kinky. Their sexy jockey, which is okay. And then we have the sexy cowgirl, you know, what you were the other day at Tombstone. We have the sexy unicorn.
No, I was not.
We have the sexy unicorn, and we have it's what your husband wishes you were the other day at Tombstone. And we have the sexy dressage rider. So which one of those do you think would be my favorite?
Well, let's see. The sexy unicorn is a little bit too young.
Actually, I found that disturbing.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
The sexy wild pony is just some goth, like, some sort of S&M weird straps wrapped around. I don't know how that's equestrian at all. Aside from there's a horseshoe over one of her special parts. And she's carrying a whip. I think that you would like, because you would love to see this, and this is what you see in your mind every time you go to a dressage show. How about the sexy dressage rider?
Oh, I wish. That would certainly make dressage a lot more interesting.
How would you get your feet in the stirrups with those giant spiky heels?
Well, we don't think practical in our fantasies, Jamie. They're fantasies. But actually, that was number two for me. Number one was the top one, the sexy jockey with the pink halter top. I thought if we could see jockey driving around on horses like that, you'd see the attendance at races shoot through the roof.
Could you imagine Mike Smith wearing something like that? That would be ridiculous. You'd never see that. That would never happen, Glenn. I would never want to see a sexy jockey looking like that. I mean, Pat Day wearing a little busty crop top? No, thank you.
Okay, maybe for the female, for the female version. But we do have a guest here this morning, and I want to get her on here before she hangs up after this conversation. We have Stephanie Church on, who's on to talk to us about an article that she wrote for The Horse the other day, and I asked her to come on and chat about this because I just thought it was fascinating. And let's get Stephanie on here. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Glenn and Jamie. How are you guys doing?
Thank you for calling, Stephanie.
I'm not sure I can follow that conversation very well.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, happy birthday, Jamie.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, now, Stephanie, you wrote a fascinating article for thehorse.com the other day. Tell us about it and tell us about this girl.
Well, thanks, Glenn. Yes, this story was really close to my heart. Basically, there's a girl in Kenya. She's 18. She's in southwestern Kenya, I believe. And she has learned to become a farrier. And the horses, you don't see a whole lot of horses over in Kenya. I've been there twice, and I can probably say that I've seen, you know, a handful. But you see tons and tons and tons of donkeys. And they're working donkeys. They have very important jobs. And, well, their feet need to be taken care of just like any other horse or donkey, or, you know, equine, rather. And so it's important to care for these horses and these donkeys so that they can do their work. And this girl has stepped in and she's learned to do it. And she's overcome some gender barriers for doing that. It's considered guy's work over there to be a farrier. So,
oh God.
Yeah. And so it's really cool because she's able to help her community. She's able to help people from surrounding communities who bring their donkeys in for trade. And I don't know, it's just, it kind of contributes to the greater good of society over there.
How'd you hear about her?
Well, I have a friend who used to work at the horse park here in Kentucky, and she contacted me a couple weeks ago saying that the organization that she's volunteering for right now in London, it's a London-based organization called The Brook. They help working equines all across the world. And she said, hey, there's this cool story. Would you be interested in looking into it? And, of course, with my heart for Kenya and my heart for horses, I was just like, yeah, sure, totally. So I learned a little bit more about it. There's a video that they posted on their website. And it's a little interview with this girl. Her name is Fiona. And I just followed up for that reason.
Now, you said about the gender barrier, and that's something that, you know, you've been there a couple of times. And of course, you see it all across the board there, not just obviously with horses, but everywhere. Has she been able to overcome that and make a living out of this? Because the other thing, too, that I was under the impression is that, you know, hoof care and care in general sometimes for some of these horses and donkeys and things is not the best. So,
right. And she explains in her interview or video interview that a lot of times these animals are used and used and used, and then when they start having hoof problems, that's the point at which the farmer will sell them. And it's, you know, a lack of education for the most part. So she's sort of stepping in there and intervening before the donkeys get, you know, their feet get bad enough that they are having trouble. And in terms of gender barriers, you know, she's still school age right now. But the women, you know, they have a lot of, it depends on where you are. I mean, she's not in the city. In the urban areas, you see a lot of women that are working in offices and have jobs that way. But in the rural areas, usually you see women doing a lot of the labor. you know, moving things here and there and farming and, you know, gathering wood for fire, for cooking, things like that, and going to get the water for the family, things like that. So she generally, a lot of women go to school and then they don't get an opportunity to go on to university. I think only about 2% in the area where I usually go to actually get a chance to go to university and learn sort of a profession that is that gets them into a you know, in a business role or a role where they can, you know, work in the cities, things like that. So I'm rambling a bit here, but Fiona, she's in a position where she's able to just help a ton of different people because a lot of these people rely on their donkeys for their livelihood in order to move the crops from here to there when they've harvested, to even just deliver water.
Well, I think it's absolutely fascinating.
Well,
you go to the horse. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you can go to thehorse.com and you can read the article. I really wanted to encourage people to do that. And I, you know, I guess what's the best way to find it? Because you've got so many articles there.
Well, if you go to horse.com, there's a top navigation and there's one that says blogs.
Yep.
And if you, there's a drop down that'll happen. It's the second blog. It's called Horse Sense and Sensibility. I could also post it to your Facebook page if you want.
That would be great. Yeah, that would be terrific.
But it's, you know, it's funny because that's what you see. It's, you know, you see a lot of horses when you're driving down the road in Lexington. All you see yearlings and broodmares and just horses everywhere. And then you go to Kenya and you see donkeys beside the road, tons and tons of donkeys. So it's just, it's really interesting how different it is there and just how integral these horses, or not horses, equids are to the economy there.
Real quick, before we let you go,
yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt here. I'm curious to know why you've been to Kenya twice. You said you've been there twice. And what is it about Kenya that makes you feel compassionate?
You know, it's really interesting question. That's an interesting question that you asked, Jamie. People say that you go to Africa and you either love it and you have to go back, or you just don't enjoy the experience at all. And I'm one of the people in the former category. I first went in 2009 with a group from my church, and we have contacts on the ground there in Kenya who are missionaries, and we do work mainly with orphans and with the women who are caring for orphans over in Kenya. And so what we do is just a lot of, we just love on the children while we're there, and remind them that they're important and they have important roles in this world, and do the same for the women, really. I've spent some time in the schools talking to teachers and encouraging them, because the teachers aren't exactly treated very well over there, at least in the areas where I visited.
How do you go and because to me, the one of the arguments my husband and I have all the time is, like, he would like to have kids and I want to adopt from somewhere like Africa. And how do you go there and wrap yourself up with these kids and get involved in their lives, and how are you able to say goodbye after that? I would want to take every single day one of them home.
Well, you know, it's really funny that you asked that, because my first time that I went, you know, you're so impacted by the people that you meet and just how joyful they are despite their circumstances, because a lot of them are really steeped in poverty. It's just how it is. And, you know, the kids on the first trip, they are guaranteed maybe one meal per day. And that's because the organization we were working with was providing it. And you come home and you're kind of like, wow, I've got, you know, running water in my house whenever I want it. And it's warm. And I have food, you know, everywhere. And anyhow, I just felt very connected to the people that I met there and just how joyful they were despite what they were dealing with and some of the grief that they've been through because of everyone's been impacted by AIDS, by losing friends, by losing family members. So I wanted to be connected to that place, and I sponsor a child through Compassion that lives in Mombasa, Kenya. And she's a delightful young lady. She's 17 now. And when I went back last year, I met her in person. So
wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool story. She's a She's a neat young lady. She's actually studying journalism and agriculture. And she's just having someone on the ground there who is, I consider, my friend and someone that I write letters to and encourage has helped me, you know, with that separation of not being able to be over there helping all the time.
Well, you know what? A big hug to you for everything that you do over there. I know that there's a lot of people who would love to get involved in helping kind of the way that you do. So do you have kind of an organization through who you go through, or can we make donations to this organization?
Well, you know, if you're looking to help children, and something that the organization that I support is called Compassion International, and I believe you can get to it through compassion.com. They have a lot of involvement, as do some other organizations in Kenya. But having experienced the way that they help children over there, and also really reading just the leader of that organization really strikes a chord with me. He wrote a book about how hope is so important to children in poverty, and how if we can just encourage them, they are able to hang on and kind of be persistent in what they do and their hopes and their dreams, and you know they're able to get out of poverty one day. And so I really like to support Compassion International, and if you go there you can search for children in the countries that maybe tug on your heart. And
I'm actually on compassion.com right now, and you can just click on sponsor a child, and there's
exactly.
These beautiful children that have been waiting for over a year for a sponsor. So
yes.
Everybody please go check out compassion.com. You know, we're all horse people and we have compassion obviously, or we wouldn't love these 1,200-pound crazy animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, share a little love with kids, go to compassion.com. I'm hooked. This is fantastic, and I just want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. And I hope that maybe one person is moved to go on there and be connected with a child and encourage them in the same way.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Right.
Appreciate you being on.
Uh-huh. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
And of course that's thehorse.com.
Killed me.
She's the editor over there, and what a lovely lady she is too. She just she's just a good person, and has been actually at thehorse.com I think since like 1999 in various roles, doing her thing. Well, that's neat. That is really cool. We're going to take a break here for a commercial, and then we're going to be back. We have another guest coming up talking about something a little different, photography, and we'll be getting to that in just a minute. Choose Kentucky Performance Product Supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to KPP. This week I want to speak with you about Elevate Maintenance Powder. This time of year horses are consuming very little grass and may not be able to get enough natural vitamin E. Horses in rigorous training, seniors, broodmares, and stallions often require additional levels of vitamin E to meet their needs. When you need to supplement with natural vitamin E, choose Elevate Maintenance Powder. Affordable, effective, and research-proven, Elevate Maintenance Powder's vitamin E is nature's most powerful antioxidant, protecting your horse on the cellular level. Elevate Maintenance Powder supports the strong immune system and healthy muscle function necessary for top performance. It's affordable, it's easy to feed, and you can learn more about this and all their other products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. Well, thank you to Kentucky Performance Products. Don't forget you can also follow them on Facebook. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. Well, while we're waiting for our guest here, I wanted to let everybody know if you're in the Lexington area of Kentucky this week, actually through Wednesday of next week, October 24th, the Budweiser Clydesdales are holed up there for a week. Apparently they needed a stopover, so they stopped over at the Kentucky Horse Park. You can go in and visit them. They're in the big barn, Jamie, you know which one I'm talking about. And they're housed in there. You can go in and meet them, the dogs, and everybody. And they'll be making an appearance on Sunday at the Horses of the World show at 2 p.m. at the park. so they're actually going to hitch up and do that. But otherwise, you can just go in and say hi to them. I love when you can get that close to them because you don't realize how big they are until you're standing right there.
That's actually pretty cool. I can, and so you can just go in there and, like, meet them and stuff?
Yeah, apparently they're all set up in the big barn, and you can just go in and say hi. And they have the Dalmatians are there, and the traveling crew that travels along with them. You know, and the other thing that's fascinating when you see them all like that and they have it all laid out is when they have their harness all hung up, you realize, and they have to clean that stuff. They clean it every day, and you realize how much cleaning a leather harness, one leather harness takes, let alone eight. It's amazing. Just amazing.
Oh, that seems amazing. Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot of horsemen's one step. The other thing is Frankel. Now, you and I have a problem with Frankel. We have a problem because Frankel is considered the world's top-ranked racehorse. He's won 13 of his races and regarded one of the world's greatest racehorses of all time. And he's actually running again this weekend, his last race. He's running in front of Queen Elizabeth and 32,000 spectators at Ascot. It'll be the Champion Stakes. And if he wins, his earnings will be at £3 million, which is like, what it says here, $4.85 million. And he's going to become a stallion after that for his Saudi owners. But how did he get this title is my question.
Well, you know, and reading a lot and watching some of his races since we actually talked about it, this horse, while it is incredibly... It's impossible for me to say that he's the greatest racehorse of all time. Boy, he is so dang impressive. I mean, just watching him run, you're like, I mean, there's nobody that ever comes close to him. Just not even a challenger. Much like watching Zenyatta in her first 19 races. It was just like, there's just nobody that comes close to her. And she just would believe him. And this is the same deal with Frankel. And I think what's really great for, you know, it's great for the British people is that he is an inspiration to them and something that they haven't had in quite some time. I mean, you've got some pretty amazing Australian racehorses, obviously Black Caviar, and then you've got the Zenyatta and some amazing horses recently in the United States, but Britain hasn't had any horse that has left an imprint on racing much like Frankel has recently in the past, you know, ever how many years. So they've got him going, and he's going to run in the Ascot this weekend, which is one of their, it's like their Breeders' Cup, you know, it's like their most, their biggest race. He is currently 1-6. So you have to spend $6 to win $1 on him.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So I guess you'd just trifecta him with about like everybody else on the whole entire, in the whole entire thing. I mean, how would you even guess?
Apparently he's going to have some competition, though. The defending champion is going to be there of that race, as well as two horses in the top five of the international rankings. So this is one race where he's, you know, he'll have to run. He's going to have to do his work on Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember which day it was on.
Saturday. So, and if he wins, he will have won $4.85 million, which, you know, maybe their purses aren't as big. Zenyatta certainly won a lot more than that, whatever. Almost $8 million. But you've got to think, too, what's a really great story is the trainer, Henry Cecil, he actually has cancer. And he has, like, almost died of, I think it's stomach cancer, I can't remember. And he has had, he was diagnosed with it, like, probably 8 years ago. And he got Frankel, and he says that nurturing Frankel to the top has made him feel 20 years younger. He says he's so lucky to have been allocated Frankel to train. He says the horse has been an inspiration and a challenge, which I really needed so badly. Through my illness, I feel that the help from my wife, Jane, and the determination to be there for Frankel has helped me so much to get through the season. You read about people helping horses, but this is definitely the situation where horses are helping people as well. So just an awesome story, and I just can wish them the best. Of course, he's not better than Zenyatta. Just never going to happen in my book. So, but he's great.
And there's a few Black Caviar fans that are going to argue that point too, I'm sure.
Exactly.
They estimate his current value, get this, at $160 million.
Good God. Thank, I hope he is not sterile like Cigar was.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you'd think they'd check that by now. All right, let's go to our next guest. We have on here today one of the world's preeminent, one of the world's best equine photographers, and her name is Monica Stevenson, and she is out of New York, and she's coming on with us today to talk about her work. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you. A little wet. It's raining here.
Well, you know what? I've looked through your photography, and I think you've had a few photo shoots in the rain, too.
Yes, any kind of bad weather.
Now, tell us, Monica, are you a horse person to begin with?
Yes, I am, definitely. I've started out as a horse crazy kid, and when I moved to New York and once I kind of established my career, I bought an old or a retired racehorse off the Florida racetrack.
Okay, so you got an OTTB, and that was the one that you rode? Did you show?
That was years, and I think that was about 15 or 17 years ago. And I did show a little bit with him. That's when I started dressage.
Okay.
And he wasn't suited for the track because he was too slow, but he was too fast for dressage. So I ended up selling him to an eventer. He was much better as an event horse.
Yeah. Well, and then how did the photography come into the mix?
I'm a photographer in my day job also. I have a commercial studio in Manhattan, and I shoot a lot of still life, luxury goods, cosmetics, that kind of thing. And about, 5 or 6 years after I started my career here, I began to wish that I had followed my dream of when I was a kid, which was to become a vet, a large animal vet, and had a long, long conversation, in fact, many of them with my dad. And he said, Monica, you're not really suited to be a veterinarian or a doctor. You're, too social, and you'd end up being in a lab, and it would drive you crazy. Why don't you just take pictures of horses? And so he was the little seed that started the whole thing. And then it blossomed into what it is now.
Okay, so how exactly, being in New York City, were you continually moved by horses? I mean, I guess once it gets in your blood, you can't get rid of it. But what opportunities are there to photograph, or even besides the carriage horses there, where can you even see horses in New York City?
Well, I don't live in New York. I did live when this photography started. And I kept this racehorse out in Long Island. So what I would do was I would take a super, super early morning train out of Manhattan, and I had my bike on the train with me. I would ride from the Oyster Bay train station to the barn, do my riding, ride back to the train station, get back into Manhattan to be ready to work at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Good Lord. You people in New York are so crazy, and it's awesome. You got to think about sometimes like the rest of us in the rest of the world, where we've got, I remember having to drive 25 minutes one way to the barn when I lived in Atlanta, and how frustrating that was.
Yeah.
But just how unbelievably dedicated you had to be to take planes and trains and bicycles to get to your horse. So just an awesome story. Now, I was looking through some of your photographs, and I've got to ask, because I definitely have a great love for the Andalusian, and they just, is there any horse easier to photograph?
No. I mean, maybe, if it was a tiny baby miniature horse that's just cute all the way, I would say no. They're so beautiful no matter what they do. They always have a fantastic posture with their, curved neck and the soulful eye and the beautiful mane and forelock. So to answer your question, no. It's so easy. I don't have to try.
Yeah, you can be the worst. I'm the worst photographer in the world, and I took some pictures of horses. I'm like, when I was in Spain, I'm like, oh my God, I should do this for a living. I am so talented. And then I take a picture of my horse, and I'm like, oh God.
That's funny.
Now, you do a lot of work, I noticed, with black and white, and also, from what I read, with some retro cameras, too.
Yep.
Is that a new passion, not all digital, but going back in time and getting that the old look?
You know, it's not a new technique for me. It's when I first started shooting the horses, I actually shot them on a small plastic camera called a Holga. And it's a camera that costs about $20, and it literally is 100% plastic except for the few little metal springs that are in it. And it has a terrible, terrible lens, and I did it. But what it does is it gives you very dreamy, abstract photographs. And I did it because during the week here in the city, my job was just crazy focused, and, you know, everything, there were deadlines, and it was all about getting the right true picture. And I just wanted to be able to relax and sort of shoot from the hip, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And so using this plastic camera that didn't require any sort of technological advancement was perfect for me. It enabled me to just shoot with my heart and my mind as opposed to shooting with, you know, my hands and all numbers and math and that kind of thing.
And, you know, it does give you that look. And it looks like some of these photos were Photoshopped, but they probably weren't. That's probably
No, there's no photo. It's all film, and I print them full frame, so there's no cropping, and there's no Photoshop. In the color ones, yes, but in the black and white shots, no. It's 100% true what you're seeing.
Wow. And you had the opportunity to go over to the Middle East and do some shooting too, right?
I did. I got a great commission in 2010 from Sheikh Mansour out of Abu Dhabi, and he's trying to promote the Arab as a flat racer. And so for a year, I traveled around with a large group of journalists, and we went all over the world to document the races and the behind the scenes of these Arab racehorses. And it was, you know, a dream come true for me.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity you don't get every day.
No, you don't. And, you know, to be able to travel and photograph horses, you know, I love traveling, which is, you know, you can see on my website, I've got pictures from all over the world, and it's just something like I said, it was a dream come true to be able to combine the two.
Now, have the, obviously you do paid commercial work, as you said,
mm-hmm.
For companies, and then you also have your work exhibited in galleries. Have you found that the equestrian photography sells? Does it sell in the cities, let's say, like in New York City? As well as some of the other stuff?
It does. You know, it's funny that you mentioned the shows. This weekend there's an arts festival in Micanopy, Florida.
Oh, and that's right up the street from us.
Right up the street, exactly. And I work with a woman named Susan Benson who will be there at Micanopy with a booth selling my pictures. But it does work in the city and the country because in the city I tend to find more photography collectors as opposed to, you know, true horse people. And then out in the country or in the horse markets, they're the horse people. So I consider, you know, it's a two-pronged kind of marketing technique, so to speak.
So is Susan going to be up there this weekend?
Yep, Susan Benson will be in my booth in Micanopy. So
we might have to take a ride up, Jennifer, to see that. That's literally right up the street from us.
Oh, yeah, you can't miss it.
Sounds great. Well, this is terrific. And your website, we'll put a link to it. It is, how do you say your last name anyway? Is
Stevenson.
It Stevenson?
Monica, yes. Stevenson.
MonicaStevensonPhotography.com or just MonicaStevenson.com, right?
It's MonicaStevensonPhotography.com.
Yeah, okay. And that's the one to go to, and you can see all of her work. And you also do have some prints on there. Are some of these for sale? Can people contact you through the website?
Everything's for sale. They can contact me. They can, it can be via email, via phone, whatever you'd like. But by all means, I sell the prints, and we do commissions, you know, private portrait work, that kind of stuff. So feel free to call.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, if you're into photography that is not just the picture of the horse standing there with the little child looking all cute and is a little bit different, then you're going to love her work because it is a little bit different. I think that's what's so appealing about it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thank you, Monica. We appreciate you being on.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Someday we're going to learn how to take pictures well ourselves, Jamie. You and I, we're going to.
When is that going to be, Glenn? Because
never,
you know,
never. I'm 50.
Never.
It's not going to happen anytime soon.
I want to have a pretty.
Doesn't everybody want to, it's one of the universal things, I think, is everybody wants to be a good photographer. Don't you think that's true?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I see these people that post their, like, Instagram photos on Facebook, and it's, or just their regular photos, and it's like the person, the subject up close is so crystal clear, and the background like fades into like haziness. It's so cool. My sister-in-law is amazing at doing photography, and I take a picture and it looks flat and boring and probably
yep.
blurry, and the person, the subject is like on the corner. So thank God for Photoshop.
We've had Scott Trees on. I did a series of tips with him. Of course, he's one of the best equine photographers out there, too. And he's a super nice guy. And he, the tips can all be found over at horsetipdaily.com. And I did all these with him. And he's talking about this and that and the other thing. And I got to be honest, once they start talking about shutter speeds and, you know, all of that stuff, I'm just going blurry eyed and I just can't figure it out. I'm just not it's just not there, I guess. Nice.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. So,
let's take a break for our commercial and also our song of the day. And Jamie requested a song because it's her birthday.
Yay!
And then I think when we come back from your favorite song, Girls and Horses, we're going to be chatting with the other birthday girl, Aubrey, about something.
Yay!
So we'll be right back. Hi, Glenn here with the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Today I'm going to be featuring a bridle called the Tecna Synthetic Dressage Bridle with Removable Flash. But what I really want to feature is the entire Tecna line. These are synthetic bridles, but I'm telling you what, you can't even tell them from leather until it comes time to clean them. My trainer, I had a synthetic bridle on my horse, and he was riding it, and he kept saying, "Are you sure this isn't leather? It's that nice." They're soft, pliable, easy to work with, and easy to clean, and only $60 for a bridle that you can use virtually all the time. I probably wouldn't use it in the show ring, but any other time, it's absolutely the bridle to use. I use it all the time. I put it on a pack hook, and I hose it down when I'm done, and it's ready to go for the next time. And it comes in both a snaffle bridle, a dressage bridle, and several other items. I got the flash attachment with the little, you know, thing that you can put a flash on a snaffle bridle. And if you need a flash for the day, you can, voila, you have that bridle too. I highly recommend this entire line. They also have saddles, which are as well synthetic. Love the Tecna line. Give it a shot.
So you can find all of the Tecna products at EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for Tecna, T-E-K-N-A, at EquestrianCollections.com.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she talks about them. Dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls? I talk about him and I dream about him. I live to love him and I love to ride. I'll always have him, be lost without him. There's magic in those endless. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Yeah.
That is Templeton Thompson. Thank you for playing my song on my birthday, Glenn. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. And my sister from another mother is on the phone because, like myself, she is a big fan of her. Well, which fork do you have, Aubrey, from Equity.mfg?
I got three of them now. I got the shaping fork for my birthday. So, I've got a lot of them there.
First of all, happy birthday.
Thank you. You too.
Has it always been your birthday, or is this becoming like a weird fatal attraction thing where you're just trying to be like me?
I'm pretty sure, like, since I was born.
Okay, I'll let that one slide. So you have three forks now. You got a shaking fork for your birthday?
I did. I got a shaking fork and another flexion fork because my barn help was fighting over the one that I kept taking with me to the other barns. I kept getting yelled at. So
who was the smart person who got you a shaking fork for your birthday?
My boss, who owns the barn that I run. I dropped a lot of hints.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I wrote it on the board in the barn. Said, buy me this.
Glenn, why don't you take over, because I haven't used the shaken fork, but I know you have.
Yeah, I have, and I'll tell you what, Aubrey. So what have you found? Now, the shaken fork is the motorized manure fork from Equity Manufacturing, and, you know, it's as tough, and it has all the attributes of the flexion fork that you've used for a long time. What have you seen a difference now with the shaken fork?
You know, I think I'm getting about maybe even less than half out of the stalls that I used to. So that's been really, really nice. And I'm getting I went from about two wheelbarrows out of my stalls in the morning down to about three quarters of one.
Because so you're not wasting as much bedding, right?
Yeah, I'm going through a lot less shavings. And I've got several barns, and they all use different types of shavings. And mine, it works. I'm definitely saving some shavings, but it doesn't work quite as well because I use those really big, big flake shavings. But a couple of the barns that I do use sawdust, and it's amazing how fast I can go through those barns. And it's pretty much cut down half, and I'm using so much less shaving, so it's going to end up saving a bunch of people a bunch of money of the barns that I do. I don't buy the shavings for any of them. But
now, so you're saving time, too? You said it does cut down your time?
Yeah, it really does, and it's funny because you have to kind of slow down when you do it just because you have to let the fork shake for a second. And so it kind of took me a little while to say, okay, just slow down, because I tend to do them a little manically anyway, just because I have so many to do. But you do them faster. Even though you're physically moving slower, you're doing the stalls faster.
Aubrey, did you ever in your lifetime, you've been doing this job for a long time, did you ever in your lifetime think you would have a manure fork you had to plug in at night?
You know what's funny is I had seen one once, like years and years and years ago, and I that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, and it weighed a million pounds, and I was like, there is no way. And now I love the thing. So, but it was a different one. It weighed a ton, and it was, I don't know, I just said, that is a bad idea. And now I got one, and I love it. So.
Yeah, this is a little bit different model than I think you looked at years ago. Now, one of the things that I found is that you have to get used to it. And one of the habits that we have as horse people, and I'm sure Jamie's this way too, because she's got the little bit of the adrenaline running through, is that you tend, horse people tend, especially if you clean a lot of stalls, you're doing it fast and you're doing it vigorously. And mm-hmm. when you have the shake and fork, you don't do the vigorous anymore. You let it do it, but it's hard to let it do the work it's supposed to do. Yeah, that's a learning process, isn't it?
It really is. It only took me about 2 days, but I think I've had 3 or 4 barns over the past several days, so I've been doing about 20 stalls a day. So say it takes 80 stalls to get to where I could really just let it work.
Aubrey, you might be a little bit of a slow learner. Those of us born on October 19th, are we even slower than the rest?
It was two days, so it wasn't too bad. It's that manicness that I do that I'm just trying to, I don't know, it's hard for me to slow down ever. So, but when I slowed down, it actually sped up. Like, this morning I had a barn to do before I had to do my barn for work, and I got up early and went there, and I was actually done about 15 minutes before I usually would be, and then I was early for work, so I'm going to have to, I could have slept an extra 15 minutes. I have to rejudge my timing now.
So that's a new motto for the shake and fork. It allows you to sleep longer.
Yeah.
Get more sleep using the shake and fork. Well, this is terrific. You can find all of those products at equitymfg.com. Now, it's a little more expensive than your typical manure fork, the shake and fork is, but I think from Aubrey saying it's worth the money, huh?
Yeah, I think if you, especially if you're buying the shavings, I mean, I went from probably using 3 bags a day to using half a bag to a bag a day. So, I mean, it literally cut my shavings in a third, just about.
All right, terrific. Well, Aubrey, before we let you go, are you doing anything special for your birthday?
I have 4 barns.
Oh, geez.
Finish one and get on to the next one, and then finish that one and get on to the next one, and then start over again at the beginning, pretty much.
Now you're also our tattoo girl. So are you getting a tattoo for your birthday?
No, I gotta save some money. I've got some other ones in mind, but gonna have to save up for those. Those things cost more than the shake and fork for sure.
You know, in so many ways, Aubrey and I are so identical, and so many ways we are completely opposite. The idea of sticking a needle and ripping my skin for my birthday sounds just awful. You're like, oh, I just got to save money. Can't wait.
Well, that hurts more than the tattoo. When I got to write that $300 check to the tattoo artist, that hurts an awful lot more than the tattoo does.
God,
that's a lot of stalls for a tattoo.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Aubrey. We appreciate you being on with us this morning, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. There's the testimonial to the shake and fork.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of stalls to do every day. I'm glad she has it. It at least helps probably your body from being so exhausted.
It's funny, though, when you go to lunch, you're still vibrating, though. hey, you know, one of the things, too, that just goes to prove what we've always said about the lessons that we try and teach new horse husbands and new horse boyfriends is don't bother getting her the frilly, fluffy stuff. They want practical things. There's Aubrey practically begging for a shake and fork because that is the gift for her birthday that was going to make her life easier every moment she's working.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know what I asked for my birthday?
Diamonds?
Yeah, that's a horse girl kind of thing. Actually, I wanted a new dressage girth, one that was fluffy, because I just feel like the dressage girth that I have just seems a little bit too stiff, and it just seems like it would be uncomfortable for a Jet. So I asked for one that's fleecy. And my husband is like, hold up. It's your birthday, and you're asking for a more comfortable girth for your horse, but that's a horse girl. That's what we
want.
That's
right. That is absolutely right. And you know what? That is the thing that would make you happiest every time you go to put on that dressage saddle. You're going to be happy, and you're going to think about your husband.
Yeah. And he's like, well, how do you size those? I'm like, actually, I need a 24. And he's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm like, just look online. Here's the website. So and I think I'm going to have to end up getting it for myself. I think it was too overwhelming for him. It's got to be, Glenn, it had to be buying gifts for horsewomen. Did Jennifer, did you have to spell it out for Glenn when you started doing it?
When you dating? Yeah, he would usually feign interest while at the tack shop, you know, because like, oh, drive by tack shop, must go in. And he would pretend he was interested, and he's really good at the casual observing, and he noticed me fondling the fuzzy fleece skirts, and he'd kind of take a mental note, and yeah.
It was either really that or I made her print out a picture from the computer and write down exactly, and I'd bring the paper into the tack shop, and I'd look at the two side by side to make sure it was the exact same.
It's the picture. It shows the clerk the picture.
That's a smart man right there. That's a smart man. We, unfortunately, don't have any – I mean, I live so far in the West Valley of Western Arizona that – there's no English tack stores within an hour drive. I mean, there's none. You got to go to Scottsdale for English tack. So pretty much our English shopping has to be online. So maybe I should have just printed up the pictures like you were saying, Jen, and just handed it to them. Just here you go. Okay. Here's the link. Here's the size. Or do one of those wish lists.
Yeah, that's
I've
even
done
better.
That too. Yeah, print out the whole
wish
list.
That's even better. We like that because then we know we don't screw it up. There's no way we can screw it up.
All right, next, Christmas. I'll do it.
I say, pay attention.
If you sorry.
I said it's time. Let's do it.
All right.
I say, pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, we're going to be taking a look at some really bad ads today. That's right. It's the weekly time for really bad ads. The prize this week is a bag of stud muffins. That's right. It's a bag of one of the best horse treats. Beaker absolutely loves these things. I had to go take Beaker in yesterday afternoon. A stud muffin. Missing about three fingers now, Jimmy.
Wait, hold on. We lost you for a second there. You had to Beaker where?
I had to bring Beaker over from the other field, and I just went out to catch him. And I always bring a stud muffin because he doesn't want to come in. And I think I'm missing three fingers. Beaker ate them.
Yeah.
Because pretty much he just loves those things.
Well, see, and I think about Beaker, and you talk about how he loves the horse treats. And I understand the love of the stud muffins, but I've got to say that Beaker, if you took off your shoe and handed it to him, he'd probably eat it, right? So what I really want to stress to the folks out there listening is that it is the kind of treat where a horse like Dear Sweet Edward, my off-the-track thoroughbred, who didn't know what a carrot was, a peppermint, an apple, and won't eat any of those things, will not touch a treat. And I use treats a lot in training. Like, boy, it's how you get them to love you. Well, now he loves me. He loves me because I have stud muffins. I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding you. It's like the only treat he will eat. So whereas your horse will eat a shoe, and so will Jet. Jet, like I said, he gets a little too aggressive with the stud muffins because he really likes them. But Edward actually will eat them. So it's a treat for those horses that are a little bit more finicky as well. I mean, granted, it's like horse crack, but the ones that don't like horse crack like this horse crack.
That's right.
That makes sense.
So we have a bag of those for the winner of Really Bad Ads today. And I think, let me take a look. I think I'm up first today. Sarah sent this ad in. By the way, the names we are giving you are the people who actually sent the ads to us. They're not the people who posted the really bad ads. Our listeners are smarter than these people.
Maybe.
Sarah Rune sent this one in. Sarah's certainly smarter. She said, and this ad came from Moore Park. I don't know where that is. Looking for a someone to help with horses. A someone. I am looking for someone to come out 2 to 3 days a week. Now, Jamie, I want you to listen closely to this ad, because if this works, I'm putting 12 of them in there. I am looking for someone to come out 2 to 3 days a week and help out with three horses. I'm looking for an intermediate rider. We'll consider someone who wants to learn about horses. Must be 18 years and older with reliable transportation. I need some who is willing to clean stalls, not often, groom horses, turn out, blanketing, ridding, can be available based on experience. Lessons can be arranged as well. Please provide horse experience as well as best way to contact you. This is not a paid position. Look forward to hearing from you. Smiley face.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Let's say this is me. And I have all these horses in my backyard. And I want somebody to come over and clean the stalls, turn them out, bring them in, groom them, blanket them, possibly exercise them, and I'm not going to pay you. Do you know how long Jose would last? Do you know how long Jose would last here? Like, not even, he wouldn't even show back up. I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to pay you. I'm going to let you learn. You're going to learn. Good luck.
And I love how she said,
people out there.
I love how she said, I'm looking for an intermediate rider, but I'll consider someone who wants to learn about horses.
And the thing is, like, I was thinking, like, if you want somebody to come to your barn and take care of your horses and clean up, you know, the best person for the job is going to be a 13-year-old girl. I mean, come on. Yeah. And then she's like, must be 18 and have a car. Good luck with that. Good luck. All right. Well, let's see here. Let me just refresh and make sure that I'm getting this right here. I think Yudi sent this next one in. Yudi Shepherd. No, yeah, there we go. This is a flashy dapple gray gelding. Mm-hmm. And again, it's in the almost in the wanted ads. Flashy dapple gray gelding. I am looking for a dapple gray gelding. Honestly, I don't care about the breed, but I was looking for a thoroughbred Hanoverian warm blood quarter horse or a Palusa. Really, anything except no hot-blooded breeds like saddlebred or Arabian. Has to be 16 hands, needs to have some speed, should be broke. I need something cheap, $700, maybe $750, depending on the level of the horse provided. So for $700, she will buy your dapple gray Hanoverian gelding. Good luck finding one of those.
I love how she can stretch it to $750 if it's a really good one.
Woo! Only if it's really trained. $750, I'll take it. So, except for she'll take anything. Well, except for, like, it has to be 16 hands, and it has to be fast, and it can't be a saddlebred or an Arabian, and it should be broke. Good luck.
And I got news for you. The one horse that we had that could get everybody off was an Appaloosa. So, you know, that always holds true. The next one's from, excuse me, from two people, Beth and, did we decide it's Gemma?
Yeah.
She, okay. Because she usually puts how to pronounce her name right in there, but she didn't have it in this week, see? Gemma and Beth both sent this one in, gelding and mare $1, which sounds like a deal. I have a 5-year-old gelding, not broke, but when worked with. Had a saddle and bridle on him and lead a cod around on him. Had a saddle and bridle on him and lead a cod around on him, but not broke. $200. I also have a 3-year-old bay mare not broke. $200. Prices could go down if not gone by the weekend. Well, if I were you, I'd probably wait till the weekend. And then she goes through several others that just with pedigrees and things, it gets boring.
No. The pedigree is my favorite part, Glenn.
Oh, really?
Because this is, it looks like it should be the pedigree to several horses, but it's all actually one horse. So you'd have to read it like this. Speedy Roan Lady is a 2001 Bay Roan AQHA mare that is sired by Speedy Roan Man. Speedy Roan Lady has several crosses to the great sire Driftwood. Speedy Roan Lady is not broke, but has raised several nice foals. Most of them have been roan. Speedy Roan Lady stands 15-2 hands tall. To view Speedy Roan Lady's pedigree, go to allfreepedigree.com/Speedy Roan Lady. What's her name again? I can't get it.
And I love that Speedy Roan Lady was not broke either. So apparently no horses in this lineage can be broke.
No. No. They can't be broke. They're all roan, and they're all somehow related to Speedy Roan Man.
And Driftwood.
Exactly, and Driftwood. Don Dean sending the next one. Trail Mare Shooting Horse. This sounds like a pretty good horse, pretty broke. 23 years old, 14 two-hand grade mare, trail horse, easy keeper, fun to ride, intermediate rider. This girl has a whole lot of go. When you make a kissing sound, she is loping. Neck reins, she is a kickback and have an easy ride kind of horse. Can be shot off of, would be a good starter horse for someone interested in mounting shooting. Doesn't mind a swinging rope. Uses a hackamore, is a lovey-dovey kind of girl that would make a great buddy. She is great around kids, and kids can ride her as long as they have a bit of experience on what makes a horse go and stop. Since she is getting older, riding should be lighter. We've had her for 15 years, so a good home is very important to us. We're looking for a lifetime home. Quirks.
Now, that all sounds pretty good, doesn't it, up to that point?
Exactly. I mean, this is like a 23-year-old solid, nice mare who is broke. You know, as long as you know how to stop her, you can ride her. Quirks. No fly masks. She absolutely hates the sound of Velcro near her head. I always thought that was that should be a little bit scary to horses, but I've never actually had a horse not mind having the Velcro take off. They get used to it pretty quick.
Yeah,
typically.
They do. You're right. Yeah.
Brakes. She loves to go, and once you get her going, it takes a firm hand to stop her, hence the reason for her intermediate riding status. This is a 23-year-old broke horse you're saying is safe for kids, and she won't stop, and all
She's
you have to do to get her to go is... So,
just like a freight train. She doesn't stop for like 12 football fields.
This is a runaway horse. You got to run her into the fence to get her to stop. Tying, don't do it. She will stand at the hitching post all day with a rope thrown over her, but tied, she will pull back. This girl does not like to be pulled. She will follow you anywhere, do whatever you ask. Don't tie her up. And she has no brakes.
Don't put anything near her face.
Don't put anything near her face. She's going to freak out.
She's like,
by the way,
you know how. You know how you see the Cialis and the Viagra commercials on TV, and the list of side effects is always 12 times longer than the ad for the – that's what this one is. All of the fine print is longer than the regular ad. All right. Yeah. Adrienne sent this one in. Pumpkins, Fresno County. Hello, do you have unwanted pumpkins you're looking to get rid of? Well, I'm tired – I'm in need of lots and lots of pumpkins, but just don't want to buy any because they are too expensive. Also, do you or someone you know have unwanted laying hens, mini horses, ducks, geese? Well, I'll take those off of your hands, too. You can give me a call. This person just wants everything. What do they do with the pumpkin?
Wait, what I want to know is who's got an excess amount of pumpkins to give away?
Anyone who's planted pumpkins.
I guess.
And how many people are just giving her hens, geese, and mini horses?
Not many people, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Go on, do the next one.
All right, to the next one. I actually want to, I think this is perfect. It's a four cart for a horse, which means a cart for a horse that you drive behind. Factory made four cart has good tires, hydraulic brakes, and tilt seats. Also has hitch on the back. It will fit a quarter horse up to a draft horse, $475. I have doubts that this one is factory made, and I'll tell you why. Because there's nothing factory about this. It has what looks like the skeleton of a frame of what might be a metal cart that was put together by a committee. And then, anybody care to guess what the seats are? That's right. They're taken.
I have a guess.
Go ahead. Oh, you have a guess? Okay.
I think they're from an Acura Legend.
Yeah. Or a minivan.
From 1984.
They are bucket seats out of some car from, you're right, about the 1990s. But they look comfy.
Maybe.
I mean, it looks comfy.
I was going to ask you about that because, you know, I'm not a driving person, nor have I ever really do I know anything about driving or carts or anything like that. And when I read this ad and they said that this is factory made, I was wondering what factory combines horses and Toyota Corollas, because the seats are from a car. And it's on a buggy that looks like the tires should be on a wheelbarrow. And like you said, made by committee. It's fantastic.
Know what, though? It does look comfy. And, it's well-built. Looks safe.
I hope to hell you have a seatbelt on that thing. You need a seatbelt on it. You can bounce right off.
Jennifer, you have to post the ad and the picture of this one on Facebook for everybody to see.
All right. Well, Samantha Saunders, send in the next two.
And I'll tell you what, I really like this first one, Jamie. I thought it was pretty good.
I know. Let's give this one runner-up status because it's just a really darn bad ad. I mean, it is really bad. A Fry Zone horse for sale. How would you pronounce F-R-I-Z-O-N?
Fryzen.
Fryzen?
Yeah. Fryzen. Yeah.
A Fryzen horse for sale. Yeah, it's a special breed. I don't even know. I mean, are they trying to say? I don't know. This is in Pasco, Washington. Mare for sale, 3-year-old, freezing, easy to handle, and easy to grab her foot. Ready for training and ready for breeding. For more info, give me a call. Thanks for your time. Why would you want to grab, like, easy to grab her foot? Okay, let's just move on. The next one, horse. $400. I want to almost guess that this was written by the same person, but it's in a totally different city. This is in Kennewick. Registered Palomino mare, 3-year-old, had a first colt. It's a good breeding mare, gentle. You can walk up to her and she won't run away. You can ride her because we saddled her for 3 months. Asking $400.
Did they ever get on? They put the saddle on, but did they ever get on the horse? That's my question.
I mean, are you telling me that they left a saddle on the horse for 3 months? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
It does. It does sound like that.
Unbelievable. Poor horse.
By the way, I looked up Fryzen to see if it was actually a word, and it is, and it's a commune in the northeastern part of France. So there you go.
That explains it. Go ahead.
Robin sent the next one in. 21-year-old quarter horse, mare for sale. Great mare. A lot of slunk, not for a beginner. Great on trails, pattern on barrels, but needs some work in the arena. She just gets excited. UTD on all the shots and backs. Call for more information. So we got We have a 21-year-old quarter horse mare for sale. She has a lot of slunk. I'm not sure what that is. She's not for a beginner, but she needs some work on the barrels in the arena. Okay, she's 21-year-old quarter horse. If she hasn't got the barrels in the arena yet, why aren't we retiring this poor horse to pasture? She's 21. She shouldn't be doing a serious amount of barrels anymore. They're the best.
Why are you trying to train a horse or at least sell them as a barrel horse? I mean, my God. You're right. They're poor horses. You know, I get frustrated when I see these ads for these older horses, because it just seems to me that life is not going to get much better for them. It's like that old horse that I bought Will, or my husband bought because he felt so dang sorry for him, the one-eyed quarter horse that was about 30. You just feel so dang sorry for him. And then, you know, I'm not going to get on my high horse. This is supposed to be funny. Here we go.
Well, you know what, though? I looked up slunk because sometimes you and I, we read these words and we don't know what they are, and then our audience corrects us, you know? Well, and I thought, this horse has a lot of slunk, and there is a word slunk, and it's the past tense and past participle of slink. So there you go. We learned something new today.
I don't think that that's what they meant to write. I'm just going to go with that. I don't think that they thought, what is the past participle of slink? Let me put that in the ad. All right, Marguerite Glasgow, Cremello mare, $800 west of Weatherford. I have a 9-year-old Cremello. Oh, God. Glenn, why do you always give me these?
There's no punctuation, by the way, Jamie.
Zero punctuation. Not even a comma. Okay.
I was wondering if you noticed that.
I never noticed until I get started. My gosh, Cremello mare, $800. Good deal. I have a 9-year-old Carmela mare. She is 14 hands tall, built like a tank. She has green eyes and a personality to die for. She loads, ties, stands, jumps right in the trailer. She's super easy to catch, and she's an in-your-pocket kind of horse. She loves people, gets along well with other horses. She's not registered. She doesn't have a current Coggins. The only reason why she's up for sale is she's just sitting in the pasture, and I cannot spend the time with her that she needs. Is I have a toddler and very pregnant. My husband works in the oil field and is hardly home, so she hasn't been ridden in almost 2 years. She's going to need a tune-up. She's not for a beginner. She's a lot of horses, very fast. She get around, make a good cow horse, even a barrel horse. Like I said, she's fast, never off the buck. I'm not selling her as broke because nobody's been on her in 2 years. She may ride off perfect or she may not. She will make somebody a good horse. I'm asking $800. Please email me with questions.
Very good. You did that whole
train
thing.
Lance,
very good. Very good. Very good. I couldn't find it. That's why you... Oh, here. I found it. Very good. You know, when you go out to look at horses and you come across, everybody has done this. We've all gone look at horses, and you either get the cowboy that doesn't say two words, or you get the woman that will not stop talking the entire time you're there.
Yes.
And you're there for 3 hours. You hate the horse. You weren't going to buy it anyway, but she just will not stop talking. That's this woman.
Yeah. She has a toddler and she's very pregnant. Her husband works in the oil field and is hardly home. So I haven't been ridden almost 2 years. Shut up! I'm sorry. You know what I do now when I go? Because I think I've looked at so many horses, especially in the past maybe 2 years. I leave. I don't care if you're still talking. I just leave.
Smart move.
All right. See you the next one.
Smart move. Mel Donald sent this one in. And the reason that we love when Mel Donald sends them in is she's from Australia, and she helps us to not feel so bad about the people who live in the United States, because
yeah.
that there are people like us elsewhere. And apparently this person was looking for a cheap riding helmet wanted, size large, please, located in Cairns. Whirling to travel ways, thank you. Now, you can go buy a cheap riding helmet at the store. You can order one online. You really don't have to put an ad out for a cheap riding helmet. They're available everywhere.
I love that. That's what Mel wrote. She said, why the heck would someone pay for a cheap helmet plus fuel when you could buy a new helmet for the same money? Helmets don't exactly run into the hundreds. So then she wrote, idiots. Did I tell you about the saddle I tried to buy on Craigslist?
No.
Like 2 weeks ago.
No.
Yeah, I was looking for a schooling saddle, just a lesson saddle, and this reminded me of it. And, you know, just looking for a cheap saddle, and there was one that was not too terribly far away in Buckeye, and it's probably about a 20-minute drive. Well, in between me and Buckeye is this gas station, and everybody goes to it. So I called the lady. I'm like, meet me at the gas station at 3 o'clock, and she wanted $60 for the saddle. $60. So I'm like, I brought the cash, but whatever. It's just a cheap little jump saddle for riding lessons. Well, I get there, and it's got a rip in the top of it that has been stitched back together. So I said to her, I said, hey, does this rip in the top of this, it's stitched very well. I said, but does that get in your way? Do you feel that when you're riding? She's like, I don't know. I've never ridden in it. I ride Western. I'm like, all right, well, I mean, does anybody, she's like, you know, somebody gave me this saddle. My farrier gave it to me. I've never used it. Okay. But it came with, like, the stirrups and super cheap saddle, but it had all the fixings, you know, it even came with a girth. So I was like, okay. I said, I'll give you $50 for it. She's like, somebody else. And by the way, this thing has been on Craigslist for a month. Second thing is, she drove up in a brand new Lexus, a brand new, probably $80,000 Lexus. Okay, she drives up.
Of course,
I'm like, I'll give you. I know. I give her. I'm like, I'll give you $50 cash. She's like, somebody else is interested in it. I said, all right. Well, I'm standing here with $50 cash. Do you want to sell it? I'll take $60. And I said, you know, here's the deal. I'll give you $55. She's like, meh. Somebody else is interested in looking at it. And I said, well, okay. And she goes, so you'll take it? And I said, no. No, I told you I'd give you $55 for it. She's like, well, okay. So this woman, I want you to think of the irony here. Who's driving around selling something on Craigslist in her new brand new $80,000 Lexus, will not sell a saddle for $5 off of her Craigslist advertised price. Because somebody else may potentially want to look at it. So for $5, you're going to take this saddle, you're going to put it back in your car, you're going to drive your happy butt home, and then drive out and meet somebody else later on who may want the saddle for $5? See you later. You're an
idiot.
Did
you drive away?
Yes. I got in my car. I was like, all right. Hope you get that $5, honey. And I got in my truck and I drove away. I'm like, for principle only, I am not going to pay retail on a Craigslist ad. It's just not going to happen. And so this heifer gets back in her $80,000 Lexus, and for $5, she can keep that saddle and stick it up you know where. I don't care. Doesn't that seem bizarre to you? Isn't that weird? Gas prices and all that stuff, you know, she's going to take you home for $5.
By that point, it was she didn't like you either, and it was a battle of who was going to win the battle of wits, I think.
I will punch her in the mouth. You know what's really bizarre is that right after I left, like probably 5 minutes after I left, she called me, and I didn't answer, and she didn't leave a message. So I think she was reconsidering as she's driving home going, God, I'm an idiot. What the hell was I thinking? There you go. Fun Craigslist story. All right. Next, Glenn Forrester. Horse for sale buckskin. Horse for sale buckskin. I have a buckskin gelding for sale. He's around 3½, maybe 4 years old. He is around 15 hands tall. With two white socks and two black. Short black mane and a very pretty horse. It's blind in one eye, but it looks pretty normal and it doesn't seem to bother him too much. Have done work with them rubbing bags, tarps, and different things on both sides of him. Done some round pin work. Leads really great. I have ride in him many times. Does buck sometimes, so still needs work, which is why I'm only asking $200. Call for more info. Asking $200 for him have went down a lot, was asking $350 at the beginning. Where the heck did you get a buckskin gelding that is 3 years old for under $200? Like, how are you making money on this transaction?
And with one eye.
The gelding of this horse costs $200. I don't understand. Where's all this money in the horse world going? Because nobody makes money selling horses anymore. I mean, how
not anymore.
Did this guy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Doesn't that seem weird?
Yep. No, I agree. Yeah, not anymore. That's changed a lot. Well, we have our trailer, which is interesting. We certainly have not had a big orange trailer like that before. It's a gooseneck livestock trailer, $2,500, also from Glenn Forrester. Older steel gooseneck livestock trailer, 30 feet on floor, two cut. Tires stay up. Looks rough, works fine, pulls really well. This trailer is not pretty. It will be perfect for the guy who wants to move his cows around without spending a small fortune. I got to give him that. It is not pretty. But the tires stay up.
They look flat in the picture.
I know. I was thinking that too, actually. They do kind of look flat in the picture. But this is a big orange sort of convertible trailer.
It looks like a skeleton.
It does. It looks like something that would be in a Mad Max movie.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. Pretty, pretty ugly. All right, well, the winner of today's really bad ads and the winner of the stud muffins, and by the way, they're really fun to say, hey, honey, grab me a stud muffin. I love it. Or I tell my students, I'm like, go get Chili a stud muffin.
hey, by the way, a warning. I looked up stud muffins yesterday to find their website, and you get some interesting things when you look up stud muffins, let me just say.
Don't Google that. What's their website, Glenn? Don't, because you don't want to Google stud muffins.
They actually don't have one right now, so I couldn't find it.
Okay. Do not Google stud muffins.
I found a lot of stud muffins, though.
You know what? I'm going to Google stud muffin after the show. Ladies,
you should.
All right. Well, Uni Shepherd is the winner. What are you doing? My husband just walked in. Hello? What? Are you, you're typing to Glenn right there.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. He's typing a message. Aw. So, okay.
He just typed happy birthday, Jamie.
I'm like, you're typing that to Glenn. I'm right here. All right. Uni Shepherd is the winner of today's Really Bad Ads. And see if you have something in your barn that may fit this description. WTB. Want to buy. I got it pretty quick. Horse Tack and Supplies, $1 in Centerburg. Now, again, maybe you have something in your barn that you would willing to call this nice lady who's looking for some stuff. We'll be purchasing horses in the next year or so, getting back into the habit. Looking for all equipment. Must be in good condition. Looking for a 15 to 16-inch leather Western Australian or endurance saddle, snaffle bit, hackamores, but we'll consider others at great prices, tie-downs, breast collars, blankets, cinches, halters, leads, grooming equipment, leather bridles, buckets, troughs, etc. Also interested in youth saddles. I'm starting to think she's opening a tack store.
Yeah.
We'll be looking for a trailer, prefer BP stock trailer, would like to have a 4-horse, but would consider other great deals. We'll be looking for mature horses, would consider a very sane 3-year-old, but targeting 6 to 16 years old, interested in AQHA, APHA, Appy, quarter horse, Arab, any gated breed, draft cross, possibly halflingers, possibly vet cleared off the track, thoroughbreds, standardbreds, or thoroughbreds if they've settled down from their career and are ready to relax and enjoy being horses again. Looking for horses that like people and have been treated with respect. I will be teaching my kids how to ride, so I need at least 2 that are appropriate for beginners, kind and patient, old horses okay, if healthy and reasonably sound, okay to walk, trot, canter, and trail ride, must be reasonably priced, i.e. auction prices. Not looking for showstoppers, just healthy and sane horses. I plan on trying to save a few from Sugar Creek if I can't find something perfect locally. Property is not ready for horses yet, so if you need to move the horse before the winter, I can't help you. I'm sorry, just fishing right now. This will be a good home. Property is 30 acres, and I work in the veterinary field with over 15 years in the saddle, maybe even looking for a cart or harness. Okay.
We have a cart. I have a cart for her. I can give her that number right there, the one with the Toyota seats. It'd be perfect.
We should. Now, let me just get this straight. This woman is looking for any piece of tack available at a good price, any type of horse between 6 and 16 that may be 3 years old, that is only this kind of horse, any breed, potentially any breed available. I think this woman is starting her own, like, auction business.
She must be, See, the other thing is she's buying all this stuff before she buys the horses, so she's not going to have any idea what size she needs. But then a lot of people don't understand that you have to worry about that. And then she wants them at auction prices. Does she know what auction prices now that Canada's not taking our horses anymore? Auction prices are about
$10. This is awful. She should be ashamed of her dang self. Now, I was thinking, okay, she has worked in the veterinary field. I work in the veterinary field, so basically what she does is she cleans out small animal cages at the local vet hospital on the weekends. And I'd be a dog walker. Anyway, congratulations, Uni Shepherd. Fantastic, really bad ad. This is definitely qualifies as a really bad ad.
I guess laughing because Jennifer posted the picture of that cart we talked about with the Toyota seats. And Tom... Our friend Tom Rittenhouse, the non-horse person, said, some kid got a C in shop class.
Not even a B.
Thanks, Tom. Well, Jamie, you have a wonderful birthday. It sounds like your husband's up, so we better let you go because it sounds like he wants you off the air. So you have a terrific day and a wonderful weekend, and happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much. Everybody, please, for my birthday, just make that appointment. Go spay, neuter, and geld. Just do it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Ride your horse.
And we'll be back on Monday, 9 a.m.
6 a.m.
Birthday, Aubrey.